Good morning. Today's daf in Sukkah is Lamed. We are in the beginning of the third parak of the Masechta. We're starting parak Lulav HaGazel. We went through the Mishnah yesterday. Quite frankly, I ran through the Mishnah yesterday, so we're going to go back. We're going to revisit the Mishnah. We're going to go through it just a little bit more carefully, give you some basic information, and I'm not going to go through an introduction here to the third parak. We did it yesterday. So right now, suffice to say that we're going to be going through the Dal Minim of Sukkahs here in the third parak. And we're going to be detailing each one. There's a mission that treats each of the minim in of themselves. There are some psulim, some of the disqualifications which are universal that apply to every one of the dal minim, and some of them that are specific to each and every one of the minim. Obviously, each min is its own particular species, and so therefore there are going to be disqualifications that apply specifically to each one of the minim that don't apply to the others. So let's just quickly run through the Mishnah again. The Mishnah says, lulav gazel v'yavish pasal, that if I have a stone lulav or a dry lulav, it's going to be pasal. Now, the stone lulav is where we're going to be spending most of our time today in the Gemara. So right now, I'm going to skip why it is that it's no good. Why stolen lulav is no good. It's kind of intuitive, and everything you're probably thinking right now is going to be correct in terms of why stolen lulav is no good. When we get to the Gemara, we're going to be discussing a lot of that today. A dry lulav, so we're not going to see any discussion in the Gemara in terms of why a dry lulav is no good. Why is a dry lulav no good? There's a lot of questions to ask over here. Why is a dry lulav no good? What is a dry lulav? So but Rashi writes over here, dry lulav is no good. You take a look at Rashi. So yavesh, the be'ina mitzvah mehuderes techsiv anveyu. So there's a requirement that we have to have beautiful mitzvahs. And if it's a dry lulav, it's not a beautiful mitzvah, and therefore it's going to be disqualified. You can see the top tosas over here, where he cites the Rashi, and he says, I don't understand. In other words, if we're talking about hiddur mitzvah, so hiddur mitzvah is, of course, wonderful. But hiddur mitzvah is going to go ahead and disqualify your lulav because it's not hiddur mitzvah. Hiddur mitzvah is exactly as it would indicate. In other words, it beautifies the mitzvah. But it's gonna hold back and withdraw your mitzvah simply because it's not hadar. So Tosfos does not like Rashi's pshat. Tosfos rather gives a different pshat in terms of why it is that the dry lulav is not going to be good. See Tosfos for more discussion of that. In defense of Rashi, so many have stated, and they have heard this numerous times from numerous different sources. I don't have a particular source for that. Is that Rashi would tell you that, yeah, in other words, there's a general concept of hiddur mitzvah, and then there's hiddur mitzvah as it relates to the dal minim. And the hiddur mitzvah as it relates to the dal minim is much more intrinsic to the mitzvah. So why should that be? Well, let's consider. When the Torah describes the dal minim, how does the Torah describe the first one? It's pre-eitz hadar. It has to be a beautiful fruit. So in defense of Rashi, Rashi will tell you that, look, when it comes to hiddur mitzvah as it relates to the dal minim, that's not just this general idea that, yeah, your mitzvahs need to be beautiful. No. Part and parcel of the very definition of the dal minim is it has to be beautiful. That's not just a nicety. It's not just a hiddur, okay, with pun intended, but it's mamish. It actually makes up the very definition. And if it lacks basic hiddur, so then it's going to be puzzled. That's what you would say in defense of Rashi. Just one more reason why it is that a lulav yavish is going to be puzzled is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi, the Ravid quotes it. The Ravid has an entire sefer dedicated to our perek of the Masechta. So the Ravid quotes the Yerushalmi says that lo amesim yalu ka, that we know that dead people can't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's one of the advantages of being alive is that we have the opportunity to praise. So the Ravid quoting the Yerushalmi says that's the problem with the lulav yavish or any one of the minim that are yavish. Yavish is ki'ilu their mace and lo amesim yalu ka. That's another suggestion in terms of why yavish is no good. Okay. Other Rishonim, everyone knows the Yerushalmi. So all the Rishonim know the Yerushalmi. So other Rishonim, when they quote the Yerushalmi, the Ritva is just as an example. So he says that the Yerushalmi is not to be taken literally. Anyway. Stay tuned. We're going to be discussing that. That's going to be in the Gemara's discussion. Okay, so so that's number one. So good. So that's the various reasons why it is that the Yavish is no good. Again, in terms of Gazel, we're going to come back to that. The Mishnah goes on, Shalasher v'shalei nidachas pasul, that if the lulav is coming from an Asherah tree, we'll describe more details in terms of what the Asherah tree is, or if it's coming from Ir Nidachas, so then it's going to be pasul. Ir Nidachas is a city where the majority of the members of that city are being over to Avodah Zarah. So then the requirement is that for those who are over to Avodah Zarah, they're Chayv Misa. Actually, they're going to be receiving Saif, not Skila. And as far as the possessions of all the people in the city, so it's going to be gathered into the center of the city, it's going to be burnt. And so therefore, what is the asher in the ear and idachas lulav have in common? They're omed lisrefa. They are going to be burnt. And because the halacha demands that they have to be burnt, so as a result of that, it's hakola omed lisarv kisarv dame. We view them as if they're actually burnt, and therefore they don't have a shear. We're going to learn together in just a moment that the lulav requires a shear. And so anything which is now burnt does not have the requisite shear, so therefore is going to be disqualified for lacking the requisite shear. The Gemara's expression, which we'll see later in this parak, is going to be ketute mechta chiure, that the basically it's totally pulverized. Nikdam rosho nifritzu al apostle. The Mishnah goes on. It says that if the head is clipped off, so that's going to be apostle. Rashi says that it lacks hadar. Right, Rashi consistently in our Mishnah over here says that all the psulim of our Mishnah, with notable exception, of course, to Guzzel, but all the psulim in our Mishnah all revolving around a lack of hiddur. So if the head is clipped off, so it lacks hadar, and therefore it's no good. Nifritzu alav, Rashi, the way Rashi describes it, is that the branches are ripped off and reconnected, but you know, by tied on. Rashi says like a broom, like an askuba, says Rashi. So the that's going to be possible, and presumably that too is going to be a function of the fact that it's not hadar. Not presumably, Rashi says it. Rashi says lav hadarhu nifridu alav kasher. Now, if the branches are just started separating and spreading, and again, we here see palm branches all the time, and it starts off nice and closed and attached, and that's obviously what we would prefer when doing the mitzvah of lulav. And then, obviously, as the tree starts growing and the branch moves to the side, so it starts spreading out. The frond starts spreading out. So is that going to be a disqualified lulav? No, it's not disqualified. The Mishnah says it would be kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yagdenim Alamala. Rabbi Yehuda says best thing to do is to tie it up, right, and not leave it in its spread out state. Presumably, of course, for Rabbi Yehuda, it's because he feels that it's just simply not it's not nice. Right? Presumably. It's a lack of hiddur. Sine harbazo ksheros. If I have lulavs that come from the harbazel, the Iron Mountains, so that's going to be kosher. Stay tuned. Tomorrow's daf, 2 days from now, we're going to be talking about where these lulavim are coming from and what makes them so unique that they got special attention over here in the Mishnah. Lulav sheish bo shosha tvachim kedei lananeh bo kosher. And finally, the Mishnah says that if your lulav needs to be three tvachim and kedela na nebo. So as we're going to learn together in the Gemara, not today, but a couple days from now, so that the kedela na nebo is actually adding another tefach, meaning that what there needs to be on the lulav is 3 plus 1. Okay, it's a funny way for the Mishnah to say it, but probably the reason why the Mishnah said 3 plus 1, and again, the Mishnah doesn't even say plus one. The Mishnah says kedela na nebo, is that because the Mishnah wants to teach us really early on that there's this thing called Nanuin, we shake the lulav. When do we shake the lulav? We shake the lulav as part of the tefillah, specifically halal. So the idea that the lulav has to be custom fit, custom designed, so that you can shake it, so that's why the Mishnah says that it has to be 3 tefachim and kidela nanebo in order to shake it. We're going to talk later on more about the Nanuin, about the shaking of the lulav. It's coming up later in this parak. Okay, that was just a quick review of the Mishnah, and with a little bit more detail. We start with the Gemara. Nif kapasik v'tani lo shana b'yamtav rishon lo shana b'yamtav sheni. Now, as far as the psalm of our Mishnah concerns, so our Mishnah is not making any distinction between yamtav rishon and yamtav sheni. Now, yamtav rishon, yamtav sheni, at the simplest level, just simply means day number one and all the other days of Sukkot. As I pointed out yesterday in the introduction. And over here, I'll just quickly reiterate. The mitzvah of the Torah to take lulav is only on day one. The pasuk says, l'kachtem lachem b'yam harishon. So you take the lulav on the first day. So that means to say that after the first day, there's no mitzvah in the Torah to take dalaminim. After Churban Beis HaMikdash, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, is one of his takanas, was misakein, that we are to take the dalaminim from days 2 through 7. As Zech LeMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of lulav went for all 7 days. So Zech LeMikdash, to help us remember and remind us of the Mikdash. There is a mitzvah midrabanan, a takana midrabanan, to go ahead and to take lulav from days 2 through 7. Our Mishnah over here is talking about the validity and the disqualifications of a lulav, and our Mishnah is not making any distinction between the first day and the second day. Now, the notable difference is that day 1, midaraisa, day number 2, midrabanan. Now, there is much to discuss in terms of day number two in Chutz Aretz, right? And unfortunately, just because of the Dafin, because of the consideration of time, so we're not going to discuss it now, but just be aware of the fact that obviously in Chutz Aretz, so day number two is on one hand, it's the first day of Chol HaMoed, but on the other hand, in Galus, it's the second day of Yontif. It's Yontif Sheni Shel Galus. So the how do we treat day number two in terms of the psulim of the lulav? Is it going to be like day number one, where all the requirements of the psulim for day number one are going to be true on day number two and the yantav sheni shel galus, or we're noheg yantav sheni, but maybe in terms of the psulim of lulav they could be more relaxed. So that is a major discussion and a debate amongst the rishonim. You can see the Ritva right over here, but we're just simply not going to cover it. We're just going to cover the Gemara Kipshuto. And that is that we're looking at the differences between the first day, which is Daraisa, and all subsequent days, which are Darabanan. And our Mishnah over here does not make a distinction between the two. Now, Bishlama Yavesh Hadabi'inam Valeka. So the Gemara says, so here's what I understand. I do understand Yavesh because Yavesh is something that applies those 7 days. If your lulav is dry in any one of the days, so it's simply no good. It's simply not a lulav. Now, how the Gemara over here assumes that the Yavish applies for all 7 days, like without batting an eyelash, and the Gemara is like, oh, of course Yavish applies all 7 days. Like, how did the Gemara know that? Okay, so you can see the last Tosfos over here where he spends a lot of time trying to figure out, like, why is this so assumed? Ultimately, what Tosfos ends up saying is that Yavish is something which is so intrinsic to the lulav that if it's Yavish, it's like you can't call it a lulav. Something along those lines. But anyway, the Gemara assumes that, of course, Yavish applies all 7 days. But Ella Gazel, but now we're going to go to Gazel. Now, what is the problem of Gazel? So the Mishnah didn't say. The Mishnah just simply said it's disqualified. So the Gemara says, so what's the problem? So Bishlam Yom Tov Rishon Dichsev Lachem Yishel Lachem. So I understand on day number one. So look, there is a requirement to take Dal Aminim, but not just any Dal Aminim. You have to have ownership. It has to be your Dal Aminim. So I understand now on day one where there is a requirement of Lachem. And when you steal it, so it's not yours, right? The very definition of stealing means you took something that didn't belong to you, and now you can't claim that it belongs to you. It's not yours. So I understand the problem of the lulav on day one, the stolen lulav on day one. It's a failure of lachem. I get that. But ela b'yom tov sheni, am I lo? But on all subsequent days of Sukkos, so I don't understand. There is no lachem requirement. The lachem requirement, when Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai made his takana, that we are to take the lulav for all subsequent days. He didn't carry over the lachem requirement. He just simply said, you need to take a lulav. It doesn't have to be your lulav. You could borrow a lulav for subsequent days. And you could, and can I make the most obvious point today? Yeah, with the Gemara, nobody's condoning stealing it. It's just we're talking about the validity of the lulav. You could steal it for all subsequent days. And again, just, it's beyond, it's, right? Or borrow it, but right now, correct. But we're just happy to be talking about stealing right now. So the point is, it doesn't have to be yours for subsequent days. We're getting there. So b'yom tov sheni amai lo. So why? So what's the problem now with the stone lula for all 7 days? Good. That's the Gemara's question. So I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Mishum Davalei Mitzvah Ba'Avera. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is that we have a principle known as Mitzvah Ba'Avera. When the mitzvah goes ahead and is facilitated through an Avera, done through an Avera, so that's no good. More than no good. It's disqualified. It disqualifies the mitzvah. Shenamar and the Gemara here cites the pasuk. The pasuk's from Malachi. Ve'veisim gazov v'sepisech v'sechola. So the Navi's giving rebuke to the Jewish people. Look at the kind of karbonis you're bringing to me. Like, it's a disaster. You're bringing me stolen, and the word over here, not Pesach, it's Piseach, and they're lame, and they're sick, and those are the kind of carbonates you're bringing me, the worst quality of animals. So, and now, we're not looking at the Musa right now, but we're looking at the connection, meaning in the list of animals that were really, poor animals, poor decisions, in terms of the kind of the carbonates that are brought, so Gazel Domi de Piseach. So in the very same pasuk we find stolen animal and a lame animal. So ma pisech leis leitakanta. Now the lame animal over here, so there's no good prognosis. The animal is lame and the animal is not going to be able to walk. And so there is no takana. So avgozo leis leitakanta. And so the same thing is true regarding a stolen. You cannot, you can't launder it, right? There is no laundering of the stolen animal. So loshna lifneyesh, loshna lacher yesh. And it doesn't matter whether the owner of that animal, the original owner of the animal, had yesh or did not have yesh. Yesh, of course, we all know, is the idea that you gave up hope. And you know, and there's no way you're gonna get it back. And you articulate and you say, "Vayle lichisarntis," like, "Woe is me! Woe that I lost the item." So, and over here, when it comes to a stolen animal as a karban, yeish is not going to play a role. Now, bishlam lifnei yeish. Now, I understand that before yeish, so the original owner did not give up hope. So adam ki akriv mikem amarachman of alav didehu. So as far as a basic halacha as it relates to karbanos, you have to bring an animal that belonged to you. The pasuk says, Adam ki akriv mikem. The mikem tells me that it has to belong to you. So you steal an animal and it's before yeish, so it's not yours. So that I get. But el alacha yeish, but after yeish, akanya be yeish, but you acquired it through yeish. So what's the problem? Meaning you own it. So el alacha, mishum davale mitzvah ba'aver. The problem, of course, is that the way that you're bringing now the carbon, fulfilling the mitzvah of havas the carbon, is through the avera stealing it. And this falls under the category of mitzvah ba'avera. That is the drusha that the Gemara is making based on the pasuk in Malachi. And the Gemara is going to bring in not just one, but a second drusha as well. I, Akadosh Baruch Hu, so I love justice, and I really despise when a carbon ola is stolen. And Mashal, and the Gemara says, okay, not only are we going to give two drushas, that was just our second drusha, but on top of that, the Gemara is going to give a Mashal as well. So you have the king, and the king is now going over the bridge, and there's a toll to pay. Okay, I just, my visit over there to Jersey, to my home state. And that toll, it's amazing, by the way. I don't remember being that much money. Okay, so anyway, so the king is going over the toll. So I'm a lavat of tenu mechas amochsim, and so now the king tells the driver, okay, no, so you pay the taxes. So I'm rulo. So the driver said to the king, valokol amechas kulo shocha. That's very strange, right? In other words, you're going to pay taxes. You know where the taxes go to? They go to you. So that's a little bit strange. What are you doing? So Amar Lahem, me many yomadu kol avdi derachim. So the king says, okay, you know what? Everyone's going to learn from me. Meaning, I know people love trying to evade taxes, but if they see the king is paying taxes, so I'm modeling wonderful behavior, and so everyone else is going to be paying taxes as well. So Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's a mashal. Now let's go to the nimshal. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar ani Hashem sonei gezeh ba'ola. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I hate when carbon ola is a stolen animal. And so everyone's going to learn from me, meaning the carbon belongs to me. The animal's mine. And the idea that someone's going to be offering me a carbon ola that's quote-unquote taken away, in other words, there is no such thing as taken away from me. It was mine to begin with. But when, in other words, once I tell people that I don't want it to be stolen, therefore it's going to model proper behavior. Meaning if I'm telling you that I don't want stolen items, so then everyone's going to understand and appreciate and respect like how big a deal is of property ownership, and don't take things that belong to other people. Okay. So we have now a drasha from the Pasuk in Malachi, a drasha from the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, a mashal on top of that to this concept of mitzvah ba'avera. Itmar Nami, let's just do a little bit more Gemara and then we'll discuss. Itmar Nami, Amar Rabbi, sorry, I lost my spot. Amar Rabbi, Ami Yavish Pasul Mimnei She'ein Hadar Gazel Pasul Mishum Davalei Mitzvah Ba'Avera. Okay, so Rabbi Ami says it very clearly that the Yavish is going to be Pasul because it's not Hadar, which, by the way, that seems to be a point for Rashi. Meaning Rashi, right? Rashi says what exactly is the Psul of Yavish? It's a lack of Hidr. Okay, so that seems to go like Rashi. Although what I haven't done with you this morning is I haven't shared with you Tosos. It happens to be that this Gemara can fit into Tosos as well, but I didn't even present Tosos this morning. So anyway,
what is the
of stealing?
Rashi doesn't
believe that. Rashi doesn't. Again, it has something to do specifically with the dollar minimum. Yeah. So let's do that again. So Itmar Nami Amar Rabbi Ami Yavish Pasul Min Meshein Hadar Gazel Pasul Mishum Davalei Mitzvah Ba'Avera. Okay. So as far as Gazel is concerned, the reason why it's disqualified is because of the principle of Mitzvah Ba'Avera. So in a moment we're gonna continue with Rabbi Yitzchak, but let's just discuss some very basic points regarding this idea, this concept of Mitzvah Ba'Avera. Okay, it's an exciting idea. Everybody knows it. right? In fact, what's popular in the yeshivas is to learn the third parak of Sukkah because it opens up with the concept of mitzvah ba ba'avera. And in today's daf alone, the number of like major topics that are discussed, mitzvah ba ba'avera, yeush, later this morning we're going to be talking about shina rishus and shina and shino imaisa and shino Hashem and oh my, and karka ain and exela. So there's like so many big topics that come up over here in the beginning of the third parak. It's totally understandable why this has become an extraordinarily popular parak to learn in the yeshivas. But in terms of, let's just spend a minute, on mitzvah ba'avera. So the Gemara says that what it's going to do is it's going to disqualify. The Gemara gave two drashas. So let's start here. The Gemara gave two drashas. Now I say two drashas, but meanwhile, both of the drashas are not coming from Psukim and Chumash. They're coming from Nevi'im, right? The first drasha is from Malachi, Ve'aveisim gazel v'sipisech. Second one's from Yishayahu, Ki ani Hashem o'ev mishpat sonei gazel ba'ola. So are these bona fide drashas? Meaning when we have this psul of mitzvah abba ba'aver, is this a psul min ha-Torah, or is this a psul min ha-Rabbanan? So it depends which Tosfos you're going to ask. So if you're going to ask the Tosfos on our daf, so the Tosfos on our daf says it's a psul d'oraisa. It disqualifies the mitzvah on a d'oraisa level. Tosfos is absolutely convinced that this is correct. You can see the top Tosfos over here. So v'had d'tanya l'kaman top Tosfos mishum d'av le mitzvah abba b'avera v'had d'tanya l'kaman beperek lulav arav lachem shalachem lotzias hashov as a gazu mishum shalitz derech debalav lachem nafkalon gazu mishum mitzvah abba b'avera. So he says, look, without a drasha, in other words, I'm going to go through this Tosfos quickly, but without a drasha of lachem, I already would have known that a stolen lulav is no good because of mitzvah abba b'avera. Meaning, what does that mean without a drasha? Meaning, Tosfos is clearly operating under the premise that the psul of mitzvah ba'aver is the psul d'oraisa. De'af agav de'kra agabi karban k'siv. Now, Tosfos says, I know the psukim cited over here are specific to karban, but Tosfos says, but k'siv hu adim b'chol mitzvos, de'af d'oraisa. But it's true by any mitzvah of the Torah. K'dim mochach b'reish gozo kama. In fact, Tosfos over here quotes the Gemara Baba Kama. Gabe ha'reish gozo sal shalchitim v'tachna v'afa v'hifrish mimenu. You steal flour and you make challah into it, so the bracha that you make, that's not a bracha, that's called niyutz, it's disgusting, it's an absolute disgrace that you're making a bracha, something that you stole. And that's obviously by the mitzvah of challah. So Tosfos clearly is of the opinion that the mitzvah, that this concept of mitzvah ba'aver is a psul d'oraisa, disqualifies on a d'oraisa level. Good. So that's if you ask Tosfos over here. Meanwhile, if you ask Tosfos back on Daf Test, Tosfos on Daf Test wouldn't agree. So Tosfos on Daf Test, when dealing with the issue, I'll do it outside. I won't do it inside. So Tosfos on Daf Test, dealing with the issue, you know, the Gemara there on back on Daf Test, Amon Aleph said that a Sukkah Gzul is no good. Why not? So the Gemara gave a drasha, right? Chag HaSukkah's Tasalach. It has to be your Sukkah. So it can't be a stolen Sukkah. So Tosfos over there asked an obvious question. Why do I need a drasha about a stolen sukkah being no good? In other words, why doesn't the Gemara just simply say mitzvah ba'avera? It's so simple. Why didn't the Gemara do that? So Tosfos says over there as his answer, well, mitzvah ba'avera, that's only a psul midrabanan. That's only a rabbinic disqualification. Meanwhile, if I have a drasha, that gets me to a biblical disqualification, a psul d'oraisa. So Tosfos back on Daf Tes felt that mitzvah ba'avera does not operate on a d'oraisa level. It only disqualifies on a rabbinic level. And in support of Tosfos, our Gemara over here, yeah, it cites Pesukim, but not Pesukim in the Torah. It cites Pesukim in the Nevi'im. So that means to say that really it's a rabbinic enactment or it's a rabbinic disqualification. And okay, and we have Pesukim in Navi, but it's not a Pesukim in d'oraisa. Good. So it's an inconsistency within the Tosfosim, but that's fine. Meaning Tosfos is not one person. Tosfos is a collection of the opinions of multi-generational Ashkenazic Jews. The Ashkenazic Talmid HaChachamim, starting with Rashi and going on for four, five, six generations after that. So you're not going to always find the same thought process within every Tosfos. Okay, so our Tosfos over here says the Psul d'oraisa, and Tosfos back on Daf Tes says it's a Psul d'rabbanan. Okay, that's one very basic issue regarding mitzvah abba b'avera. And the other basic issue, which also I'm going to do via Tosfos, is going to be what seems to be the extraordinarily limited nature of mitzvah ba'avera. Okay? in Talmud Bavli. Mitzvah Abba Be'aver occurs. How many times are we going to be seeing Mitzvah Abba Be'aver in the entirety of Talmud Bavli? Everyone ready? This is going to be shocking information. Today's daf. That's it. So the concept of mitzvah ba'aveira it's extraordinarily limited in terms of its application. You would think that it would have much broader application. It doesn't have much broader application and one of the questions that the Rishonim deal with is why? Why doesn't it have broader application? Like, why don't we see it more often? So there are a lot of answers to this question. I'm not here to give a shir a mitzvah ba'aveir. We're going to finish the daf today. But just in terms of Tosos over here, right here in our daf, so Tosos addresses this question in terms of why isn't there more broader application of mitzvah ba'aveira? Look at where I left off in the Tosos, v'im tomar, same Tosos, right? It's 7-8 lines down. So v'im tomar, l'kamen t'pasin, l'ulof shel asher v'shel ar nidachos mishum demechte shi'ure. Typically, mishum mitzvah ba'aveira. So Tosos says, look, I didn't even have to go that far. All I'm doing is citing tomorrow's daf, where the Gemara wants to know the Asherah tree, which was nevad, it was worshipped as idolatry, and I can't use it as a lulav. Why not? So the Gemara says because it has to be burnt and it's omid lisarif, and anything that needs to be burnt doesn't have the shear. It's kesusei mechta shiure. It lacks the proper shear. Tosfos says, what is the Gemara talking about? If it was nevad, if it was worshipped as idolatry. So isn't this the problem of mitzvah abba be'avera? Like, why doesn't the Gemara over there employ the principle of mitzvah abba be'avera, which it introduced to one daf earlier, today's daf? So that's Tosfos's question. So typically, mishum mitzvah abba be'avera, v'suah, my sharin, and the lava share the Moshe. And on top of that, not every asherah tree is going to be prohibited, as we'll discuss in more detail in tomorrow's daf. So v'yeshlamar, the lo dami legezo. Okay, so Tosfos says like this. Mitzvah ba be'avera is specific to gezeila, to stealing. Why? De machmas averas hagezol baha mitzvah. Because it's through the act of gezeila, now the mitzvah has entered into my hand. The avera facilitated the mitzvah. Under those circumstances, and only under those circumstances, do we have a concept of mitzvah ba be'avera. But don't say, says Tosfos, that just because there is an avera, And I want to do a mitzvah, if the avera is not facilitating the mitzvah, if it doesn't allow the mitzvah to be performed, so then what you have is just simply an avera and a mitzvah. But they're not connected, and it doesn't get disqualified through mitzvah haba be'avera. So she yotze bo, avahani atu machmas avera, shenasus bo, mi nafik be. But over here, it's only because you did the avera of gzela, then and only then were you able to be yotze with the mitzvah. So this is this idea of Tosfos is that the only time we're going to be saying mitzvah ba be'avera is only when the avera facilitated the mitzvah, allowed the mitzvah to happen. Okay, that's Tosfos's approach. There are numerous other approaches to this idea of why the mitzvah ba be'avera concept is so limited and why we see it so randomly and so rarely with that throughout Shas. Okay, so that's Tosfos's approach. There's much more to discuss over here by mitzvah ba be'avera. I just covered two very basic issues. We're going to go on in the Gemara. We are in Lamed Amud Aleph for about 2/3 of the way down. Upliga de Rabbi Yitzchak. So right now, the question on the table, let's just reset the Gemara, is that mitzvah ba be'avera, is going to be the reason why the lulav hagazel is going to be possible 7 days. On day number one, you do have a lechem issue. In other words, you have to own it. And if you stole it, you didn't own it. But afterwards, and for all subsequent days, the reason why it's going to be pasul is because of the principle of mitzvah ba be'avera. Good. That's our Gemara. That's our Mishnah. That's our Gemara. Upliga de Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees. What is he disagreeing with? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel lo shano ala biyam tovrishon, aval biyam tovsheni mitoch shiyotze b'shol yotzin ami begazel. So Rabbi Yitzchak says that after on all subsequent days, so you could borrow a lulav, you could steal a lulav. Again, I feel silly just even reiterating it, but just, you know, I want to be as clear as possible. The Gemara, not for a moment, not for a second, is condoning the act of stealing a lulav. The Gemara here is just simply focusing on the legal question of, if you have a stolen lulav, will you be yotze the mitzvah? And so Rabbi Yitzchak says, yeah, you'll be yotze the mitzvah after the first day. So, because look, you can use a bar lulav, you can use a stolen lulav. In other words, he does not subscribe to the concept of mitzvah ba be'avera. Now Tosfos over here on the very bottom of our daf, right? There's a lot of big Tosfos over here, but Tosfos on the very bottom of the daf says that it's not the pshat that Rabbi Yitzchak rejects the idea of mitzvah haba ba'aver altogether. He holds to the concept, but not when the mitzvah is a mitzvah de rabbanan. Remember, in all subsequent days of Sukkos, to take the dalam minim is a mitzvah mid de rabbanan. So Tosfos over here, just in terms of limiting this position, says that Rabbi Yitzchak is only rejecting mitzvah haba ba'avera only when the mitzvah is a mitzvah midrabanan. But if the mitzvah would have been a mitzvah daraisa, so then he would subscribe to that. That's Tosfos' understanding. Meitzer Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Gemara challenges this position of Rabbi Yitzchak. Lulav agazav ayavish pasol. Let's go back to our Mishnah. We're reading the Mishnah. Simple reading of the Mishnah. Hashal kosher. Clearly the Mishnah is telling us that if it's stolen, it's no good. If it's yavish, it's no good. But what the Mishnah does not mention is borrowed. Borrowed would be fine. That's the inference of the Mishnah. Now, can't be on day number one, because on day number one, you can't use a borrowed lulav. So assuming that our inference in the Mishnah is a good inference, so what day is the Mishnah describing? It's not describing day number one. So it must be describing, therefore, subsequent days. So vahai lav di dehu. So ela lav biyam tov sheni. So it's talking about subsequent days. Viketani gazo pasul. And it says that a stolen one is going to be pasul. So, and that obviously is telling us the reason why it's going to be puzzles, because, well, we have to give a reason, mitzvah haba ba'avera. This is going against the position of Rabbi Yitzchak. So the Gemara defends Rabbi Yitzchak. Am a revel olam b'yam tavrisha. Now, our Mishnah, the inference in our Mishnah was incorrect. Our Mishnah is describing day number one. Velomi bai kamar. And the way to read, the proper way to read the Mishnah would go like this. Lomi bai shal delav didehu. You know, if you borrow a lulav, so there, it's not yours. So of course you can't be yotzei with it on the first day, because on the first day you need it to be yours. You have to have ownership of it. But if it were stolen, you could make an argument that it's yours. Why? Because stam gzela involves yeush, right? Gzela means that you go right up to the person and you take it from him, you grab it from him, right? Geneva is where he doesn't know who you are. You break into his house and try to conceal your identity. But Gzela, you're taking it right from him. So one can make the argument that, look, if you are so brazen and so bold to just simply take it away from him, so at that point in time, we can assume Yeush. Now, it happens to be, if you remember your Baba Kama Gemara's, happens to be a machlokus, whether or not Stam Gzela has Yeush or doesn't have Yeush. But right now, at least in terms of an argument we're making, so Stam, there's Yeush. And so if, in fact, there's Yesh, so that means that technically now, it's legally now it's yours. In other words, you took the item, now there's Yesh, so it's legally yours. That's the Havamina I might have thought. And so Kamash Malan, and that's what the Mishnah wants to tell us, that no, it's not yours, that what he's going to do. This is the way Rashi describes it, is that what the victim is going to do is at a later point in time when he gets a, you know, when he gets his senses and when he gets enough courage, so he'll go to court and he'll make a case against you. Okay.
The Gemara seems fixated on Yeush, but there's other mechanisms to make opinion on the stolen.
Good. Very good. We're going to, the Gemara on the Amud base of today's daf, we're going to be focusing on that as well. Okay. Excellent. Okay. So, Adkan, that takes us now to the end of just really one long question and answer. But the Q&A of the Gemara over here, just to quickly summarize now, basically the first Amud of today's daf. So why is the stolen lulav no good? Meaning, and the stolen lulav is no good not only on day number one, where there's an ownership requirement. So I understand on day number one, but on all subsequent days. So why is the stolen lulav no good? So the answer is because we have a principle of mitzvah haba ba'avera. And mitzvah haba ba'avera is going to disqualify the stolen lulav and all subsequent days. Okay, that's the very basic Q&A of the Gemara in the first Amud of today's daf. Okay, second half of today's daf. Amalu Rav Huna Lahanu Avankri. So Rav Huna now gives advice to the Avankri. Who are Avankri? So Rashi says they're merchants, the buyers and sellers. They're traders. Not so much traders, but sellers. What do they sell? Whatever they can get their hands on. It happens to be right now that we're in lulav season, so they're getting their hands on dalaminim and they're selling dalaminim. Good. So, and specifically over here, we're going to be focusing on the Hadassim. And so now Rav Huna says to the Avankri, let's assume right now, correctly, that the Avankri over here are Jewish. And now he goes over to the Avankri and he says to them the following, Kizavinsu asa me'akum. So look, when you go ahead and you buy your Hadassim from the non-Jews, meaning obviously you have to go to your suppliers are going to be the farmers. So they're growing the hadassim, and you are now going to make a purchase on the hadassim. So lo tigzizu ason. So Rav Huna says, here, listen carefully to me. I'm going to give you the following advice. I don't want you to cut the hadassim. Ela ligziza inhu. Let the owners of the field, they're going, let the owners of the field, let them cut the hadassim. V'yavuluchu. And let them give it to you. That's the advice. Now that's the legal advice that Rav Huna is giving to the Avankri. So my time, astamav dikocham gazlani arasin. And the Gemara gives an explanation. As we're going to see in a moment, the explanation is going to be incomplete, but let's at least go, let's start with the incomplete explanation of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, look, as far as the Ovdei Kochavim are concerned, so they're the owners of the land? I don't know if they're the owners of the land. You know, a lot of them end up stealing the lands that they're on. So this could very well be stolen property. Again, we don't know this to be the case, but okay, that's just unfortunately the way the world works. And okay, and obviously Rav Huna was speaking about his time. You could say that, you know, we don't make the same assumption nowadays. It doesn't matter. In other words, but in his day, that was the general trend. The trend was is that they steal land. And v'karka eina nigzalis. Now we have a principle in halacha, and that is that the idea that land cannot be stolen, meaning that land, because of how solid it is, how visible it is, so there really is never a transfer of ownership of the land, and the owner can never really be miyayish on land. So that means to say that there is no gzela by the land. There's no status of gzela by the land, and so therefore hilkach ligzize inu. So that's why it's best if they cut it. If they cut the hadassim, now what's going to happen? Ki hechid lahavi yesh balim biyadayhu. Now, once the hadassim are detached from the ground, so the hadassim no longer considered karka. While they're connected to the ground, so the hadassim obviously have a status of karka. But once detached from the ground, so now they're metaltalin. And now they're going to follow the rules of stolen property that's not karka. And what is the rule regarding stolen property that's not karka? So if in fact there's yeush, so now what there's going to be is going to be a change of ownership. Now, that does not, again, I'm going to repeat myself just one more time. The Gemara is not condoning the act. The Gemara is not saying it's okay. The Gemara is just talking right now specifically. The Gemara is, with blinders on, just talking right now about the legal transfer of ownership. That's all the Gemara is talking about. And so as far as the legal transfer of ownership is concerned, so now when you have movable items that where the owner has experienced yeush, he does not feel, he has lost hope on getting it back. So hilkach, let's read that in the Gemara. Ligzizu inu, let them cut it. Ki hechid ala v'yesh balim biyadayhu. Where now the yesh is going to occur while the hadassim are in their hands. Biyadayu didhu. And v'shina rishus biyadayhu. And now what's going to happen is that when they sell to you, so now it's going to be a shina rishus. And what do I have over here? I have a combination of yesh plus shina rishus. And when I have yesh plus shina rishus, so the halacha is that now we have a new owner of the item. So the Gemara says, okay, so if sofki kigazu avankri lehava yesh baalim biyadayu vishina rishus biyadan. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. When the avankri go ahead, and even if they were to cut it, meaning Rav Huna's advice to them was very specific, let them, right, the quote-unquote owners of the property, let them cut it, and then let them give it to you. Because then they'll have yesh in their hands, and shina rishus as it goes to you. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Even if the avankri themselves were to cut the hadassim off the field. Obviously, they pay for it. But in other words, if they were to cut it, so now what? So now the yesh is occurring while it's in their hands. And now the avankri, what are they going to be doing? What they do? They sell it to other people. So I don't understand Rav Huna's advice over here. If the entire advice that's given over here is to avoid the problem of ownership, so even if the avankri cut it themselves, we have solved for the problem of ownership. The avankri cut it. Now you have yeush of metaltalin while they're in the avankri's hands, and then you have shina rishus as it transfers over to whoever they sell it to. So the Gemara says lo tzricha b'oshana da avankri gufayu. So the Gemara says that the avankri themselves are Jewish. That's what I said at the beginning. We're assuming the avankri are Jewish. We're not just assuming. We know they're Jewish, and they want to be yotzi also with the mitzvah of the hadassim. So for the avankri themselves. So in order for them to be able to be yotzei with the mitzvah of the hadassim, so that's what Rav Huna was advising. Rav Huna was not advising to the Avankri in terms of when they in turn sell it, because then that would be fine. That there would be a legal transfer of ownership. We're talking about the Hadassim being used by the Avankri themselves. So that was Rav Huna was advising for. He says, look, for your Hadassim, so if you cut it yourself, you're going to have a problem. So therefore have them, the owners of the land, cut it. Now they in turn are going to sell it to you. Now you'll have Yeshin, you'll have Shin Rishus, and everything will be fine. Now we'll have a legitimate transfer of ownership. So, Okay, period. Okay, and now we have a good understanding, a better understanding of what Rav Huna is advising to the Avankri. He's advising that you have the owners of the land cut the Hadassim, then in turn sell it to you. Because again, the chances are, there's a good chance that they stole the land. We don't know this, but there's a good chance they did. So if in the event that they did, so how now will there be a legal transfer of the Hadassim from the owners of the land over to the Avankri? The answer is that you need the legal mechanism of Yeush and you need Shina Rishos. Yeush cannot exist while the Hadassim are connected to the ground. Yeush only exists after they're detached. So once they're detached, now the Yeush is going to qualify as Yeush. But that in of itself is not going to create a Kenyan. What's going to create a Kenyan is going to be Yeush plus Shina Rishos. Okay, that is, that's the Gemara. And basically, the way I explained the Gemara was all as per the first pshat within Rashi. Okay, for the purposes of just making sure that I finish a daf, I'm not going to go. The Rashi happens to give a second pshat. The Rashi's second pshat in the Gemara over here is really interesting, really fascinating. But for the time being, right now, I'm going to bypass Rashi's second pshat. I'll just leave the Gemara as translated, as explained through the first pshat. Okay, that is what Rav Huna is trying to solve for the problem of ownership and the way that you can acquire it legally. Is by through the mechanisms of Yeush and Shina Rishos. Yeush, after the owners of the land detach it from the ground, now Yeush kicks in, and now when they transfer it over to the Avankri, you have now Shina Rishos. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, if all we're trying to solve for is an issue of ownership, so the Gemara says, I know there are other ways in order to create ownership. V'liknuya b'shino emaisa. So the Gemara says, why not have Shino emaisa? Now, what Shino emaisa are we talking about? So after you get the Hadassim, so what you do is you bundle them together with the Aravos and the Lulav. Right now, the Gemara is thinking, it's a difficult thought, but the Gemara is right now thinking that that is a Shinui Maisa. And again, going back to our Gemara's in Baba Kama, there in the ninth parak, really, is where it's discussed in detail. So we have a concept of Shinui Maisa, that when you steal an item and you make a physical change in the item, you've now acquired it. Again, you didn't have Aveira. But you've acquired it. In terms of now paying back the victim, if you have a change of heart and you wanna now do tshuva, so what you're gonna do is that you're gonna pay back in money. In other words, the item now belongs to you because of a shinu emaisa. So the Gemara says over here, if we're talking about now a legal transfer of ownership, so why don't we have shinu emaisa? You tied it together with the hadassim. You tied the hadassim together with the aravas and the lulav. The Gemara gives the answer, which you're probably already thinking. And that is Kasavra, Lulav ain't Sarach Eget. Well, the first answer is, well, first of all, do they have to be tied up together? A machlokas. And we're going to see more of that in tomorrow's daf. And right now, the Gemara is assuming they don't have to be tied up together. Okay, so there's no Shinui. And in Tim Salamar, Lulav Tzarech Eget, Shinui Echos V'Libriyaso, Uvi Shinui Echos V'Libriyaso, Lo Shmei Shinui. And the Gemara says, and on top of that also, what are you talking about? Tying it up? That's a Shinui? That's a physical change in the item? I got this great idea. We can untie it. Okay? So tie it, untie it. That's not a shinui. Okay, that's why shinui maisa over here is not gonna, there is no shinui maisa over here. It's not, it is not a permanent change. So, v'liknu b'shinui Hashem. Give me one second. I'll pause in a moment. So, v'liknu b'shinui Hashem, the Gemara says, okay, but it's got a change of name. And, d'mikara havali asa v'hashta hoshana. So, because previously it was a hadas, but now you know what happens when you put it together with the aravas and the lulav. Now it's called the hoshana. Okay. Now the term hoshana, by the way, we're going to see that term a lot here in the third and the fourth parak of the masechta. So the word hoshana is a term that in most of the time it describes the package deal, meaning that when I take the hadasim, aravas, and lulav. And combine them together. So we have an entity called Hoshana. right? I know that in our modern parlance, we describe the Hoshana really as the Aravos on Hoshana Rabbah, right? In fact, we named the day after that. So the but in the context of the Gemara, the word Hoshana is basically a term to use to describe the package. So now what happens, the Gemara is trying to argue right now, is that when I take the Hadassim and I couple it together with the Lulav and with the Aravos, so now it's no, how do you describe it? It's not Hadassim or in Aramaic. It's not Asa, but rather now it's Hoshana. Ah, Shinu Hashem. And right now the Gemara is trying to argue that Shinu Hashem also is a mechanism that creates a legal transfer of ownership. Now, you need Yerush also, meaning Shinu Hashem by itself is not going to be good enough. But Yerush plus Shinu Hashem, so now we got it, right? So now we have a Kenyan. So why do I need all the mechanisms that Rav Huna suggested of Yerush and Shinu Rishus? So don't I have Shinu Hashem? So the Gemara says, no, Mikari Namilas or Shana Karile. The Gemara says it's not Shinu Hashem. Because when people refer to the Hadassim, sometimes they call it Hoshana, even from the very beginning. Shinu Hashem means that you go through a name change. In other words, originally it was called this, now it's called that. That's it. That, you know, it has to be something where it actually experiences a change. But if people are calling it Hoshana from the very beginning, that's not a Shinu Hashem. Okay. So Rav Huna now has given advice to the Avankri. That's the end. That's the end of the discussion, the end of the daf. Rav Huna gives advice to the Advankri in that when you go ahead and you're trying to acquire your Hadassim and you're going to these farmers, the non-Jewish farmers, so there's a chance that they stole it. So again, the only objective over here is to create a legal transfer of ownership. If in fact it was stolen goods, so how do you create a legal transfer of ownership? So you do so, says Rav Huna, through the mechanism of Yesh and Shina Rishos. Now, Yesh does not work while it's attached to the ground. It's only after it's detached where Yesh kicks in. So make sure they're the ones who cut it. So now the Yesh is occurred while it's in their hands. And then when they sell to you, you have Yesh plus Shina Rishus, and that's going to create the legal transfer of ownership. The Gemara entertains the idea of maybe it's Shino and Maisa. The Gemara says it's not Shino and Maisa. The Gemara says, well, maybe it's Yesh plus Shino Hashem. The Gemara says it's not Shino Hashem. Okay, so that's why Rav Huna only had Shino Rishus to operate with. And that's why he gave that particular advice. Yes, I'm sorry, there was a question?
Yeah, I was wondering if you untie Dasim and everything else on the first day of this, that is, you destroy the mitzvah. I mean, you it's like a reverse shinu.
Yeah, correct. The shinu, it's right. That's what the Gemara says. The shinu chazal abriyasa, which means that it's not going to be a shinu. Okay. Question is that it's a if untying it is a reversal, which is basically the Gemara's point. Okay, let's quickly recap, let's review. We started with the Mishnah here in the third parak of the Masechta, going through the various psulim of a lulav. I spent a little bit of time going through a couple of them in some detail. Again, all we did really is just scratch the surface. Obviously, you can go much deeper in all the psulim that are mentioned in the Mishnah. The Gemara's question over here was a simple one that opens up our third parak, and that is that the lulav agazel is going to be pasul. Not only on day number one. Day number one, there's a lachem requirement. And it has to be yours. So I understand you steal it, it's not yours. But on all subsequent days where there's no lachem requirement, so why is the stolen lulav no good? So the Gemara introduced us to the concept of mitzvah ba'avera, that when you're doing a mitzvah, but the only way that you got to the mitzvah is facilitated through an avera, so that disqualifies the mitzvah. The mitzvah is no good. Okay, so that's the psul. The Gemara gave us a drasha from a pasuk in Malachi, from a pasuk in Yeshayahu, arriving at this idea that we have such a psul, and on the psul of mitzvah ba'avera. So we just dealt with two very basic issues this morning. Number one is the psul operating on a deraisa level? Is the psul operating on a derabban level? And we noted this morning a discrepancy amongst the balei atosos. Tosos and our daf clearly is of the position that's the psul deraisa. And meanwhile, Tosus back on Daf Tes says it's a psul de Rabbanon. The other big issue that we dealt with this morning is the very limited nature of mitzvah ba'avera, right? Today's an exciting daf because we get to hear about mitzvah ba'avera. So we're not going to hear it again, right? It's not going to come up. And even when there seems to be opportunities where the Gemara could have said mitzvah ba'avera, the Gemara elects not to say mitzvah ba'avera. It's very limited in scope. Why is mitzvah ba'avera so limited in scope and nature? So Tosus over here, again, there are many answers to this question. But this morning, we went through Tosus. Tosus says that mitzvah ba'avera is only limited to a scenario where the avera facilitated the mitzvah. there was no way I was going to get to the mitzvah without having done the Avera. But if there's no relationship, there's no cause and effect between Avera and mitzvah, so then we don't have the principle of mitzvah ba Avera. That's Tosfos over here on our daf. The Gemara noted that that Rabbi Yitzchak does not subscribe to the psul of Gazol on all subsequent days. He does not subscribe to mitzvah ba Avera. Tosfos limits the Rabbi Yitzchak position. That's only when the mitzvah is a mitzvah derabbanan, like lulav on the remaining days of Sukkah. And finally, the last part of today's daf is the Rav Huna advising the Avankri. The Avankri are going to be purchasing hadasim, reselling the hadasim. And so Rav Huna advises, you want to make sure that you have legal ownership of it. How are you going to do so? Through Yesh and Shinu Rishos. But again, the technicalities of that when it's connected to the ground, so Yesh simply can't take effect. In other words, Karka in an exalus. So therefore, Yesh only takes effect after it's detached. And what you want is you want the farmers to cut it so that Yesh occurs while it's in their hands. And then when they transfer it over to you, you have Yesh plus Shinu Rishos. So you, the Avankri, now can use these hadasim and be yotze with these hadasim. The Gemara entertains, why can't there be legal transfer of ownership through Shinu Emaisa? Answer, it's not Shinu Emaisa. What about Shinu Hashem? The answer, it's not Shinu Hashem.